Light the candle, tiger!
Hi there, you are warmly welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Star Sports Glenn Day, and we are looking ahead to a tournament I think I'm more excited about than any other this year. It's the US Open at beautiful Pebble Beach. It's going to be an absolute stunner. A fantastic field, loads and loads of golfers playing great stuff at the top of their game. Cannot wait for this. Before we look ahead to what's going to happen this week, a quick look at last week. And Steve, you're hinting at a return to form, aren't you? I think you put five golfers up last week and four of them finished in the top 10. Close but to no cigar.
Yeah, that's right. Shane Lowry and Webb Simpson, first and second selections in the Canadian Open, both finished second. Very disappointed with Rory McIlroy. He's not on my Christmas card list this year. Obviously, we had him for the Memorial and he played like a drunkard. And then next week out, he plays like Superman in the Canadian Open. But yeah, shows the dangers of golf betting. You can never be certain of anything. But four players in the top eight. So we're maybe peaking for the US Open.
Excellent. Good to hear. And Glenn, you nearly pulled, well, I say nearly. I mean, at one point Friday, it looked like Peter Malnati, your left field selection, 150-1 shot was going to figure. He gave us a great run for our money there.
Quite deep into the third round as well. I mean, he was 3-under through 9 holes on Saturday. So obviously, my pulse started quickening a little bit, but he couldn't quite complete the job and fell away tame at the weekend. But yeah, a good week for Steve. And obviously, I put up Matt Kuchar last week as well. So going into the final round, with McIlroy from last week for Steve, Kuchar for me. He was on Simpson. You knew what was going to happen, didn't you? And sadly, it did.
It was incredible by Rory, wasn't it, Steve? I mean, you know, he showed what he's capable of. But, I mean, that round there was pretty much golfing perfection, wasn't it?
Yeah. He, as I say, turned into Superman. He held everything he looked at. But we've seen it before, haven't we, at Bay Hill. We were on him for the Arnold Palmer Invitational last year. The final round of that was a joy to watch. And, you know, it was just golfing perfection at Bay Hill. But then the following week, he was abysmal. So, we'll perhaps get on to that. But, I'm trying not to get too carried away with Rory because recent history suggests from one week to the next, you never know what you're going to get from him.
Absolutely. Okay, well, before you put up your selections, let's get the latest betting on the US Open from Star Sports, Glenn.
Right, we're betting seven places, a fifth this week, Bruce. 9-1 co-favourites, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy. 13-1 Tiger, 16s Patrick Cantlay, 22 Jordan Spieth, 25 Xander Schauffele. And on 28-1, John Rahm, Justin Rose, Justin Thomas and Ricky Fowler.
And does this get a rare 10 Glenn Day rating, this tournament?
It doesn't, actually, no. I think probably with the prominence of a Spieth on his resurgence, because of his like slightly lower official world golf ranking, doesn't quite get up to the 10. He comes out at a 9, but obviously still a very, very good field.
Wow, I wonder what does get a 10. Steve, Pebble Beach, what sort of test is it and what kind of players does it suit before you actually whittle it down to who you're going to put up?
Yeah, widely regarded as one of the greatest courses on earth. Jack Nicklaus famously said if he had one last round of golf to play, he would play it at Pebble Beach. Amazing views of the Pacific Ocean, wind typically whipping across it. Hosted its first US Open in 1972. There's been four more since, most recent ones 2000 and 2010. But we see it every year on the US Tour in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, but much easier setup for that. And only two of the four rounds in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am are played at Pebble Beach. The stroke average in the last US Open at Pebble Beach in 2010 was 74.98. So that shows how much harder it plays in the US Open. Level par was the winning score, Graham McDowell. So you've got heavy rough line in the fairways, very small greens, heavy rough round the greens as well, very small greens, very small, fast Poana dance floors. So you're looking at accurate approach play. Accurate approach play to these small greens is essential. But given the forecast for calm weather over the first 2 days, I think the winning score might be about 5-under par. I think there'll be some birdies available over the first 2 days.
Okay, the winning score will be 5-under. That's all well and good. But who will shoot the winning score, Steve?
Yeah, I think Tiger Woods will shoot the winning score. I think he'll win his 16th major title and get within two of Jack Nicklaus on Sunday, or the early hours of Monday morning, unfortunately, due to the late timings of this one. by far the most important course form this week is those US Opens that I've mentioned. The Pro-Am. It's set up so easy. It's got, obviously got so many amateurs in it, and only two of the four rounds are there. So, form book students should be focusing on the 2010 US Opens. A lot of the big names in this field have not played in either of those events. They have no experience of the US Open at Pebble Beach. Brooks Koepka, Justin Rose, Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Hideki Matsuyama. I could go on and on. They might have seen it in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am and wonder what all the fuss is about. But it's a completely different animal in the US Open, and I think that'll catch them out. Tiger Woods, in contrast, won one of these two US Opens by 15 shots. You can get blasé about that line if you say it quickly. So I will say it slowly for listeners. Tiger Woods won a US Open at Pebble Beach by 15 shots. If you digested that, Bruce.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is it can't be overplayed. And then in 2010, despite having just been through the emotional ringer, it's just 4 months after his media conference apologizing for sexual affairs and whatnot, and just 1 month after withdrawing during the final round of the Players' Championship with a neck injury that put his US Open participation in doubt, he battled his way to fourth place in the 2010 US Open at Pebble. This is Tiger's track. Set Pebble Beach up for a US Open. Tiger is the man to beat. He's always been the best iron player in the world. His distance control is second to none. He comes in high, he comes in low. He's got the draw, he's got the fade, he's got the lot. Whatever's needed, he's got the approach shot there. He tops the greens in regulation statistics on the US Tour this season. He topped the greens in regulation statistics at Augusta. He won the Masters thanks to his brilliant approach play, and I think he can repeat the trick at Pebble. Pebble sets up better for him from tee to green than Augusta does. It's shorter, firmer, tighter. He can play a lot of irons off the tee at Pebble. And the bombers like Koepka and Johnson have their driving advantage lessened. They'll all be coming in from a similar yardage. And what a warm-up at Memorial last time out for Tiger. He wasn't fit for the USPGA, didn't play between the Masters and the USPGA. He got ill prior to the USPGA, could not practice much. But at Memorial, in his following outing, slowly but surely moved through the gears, and it was exceptional in that final round. So I think a week off to practice his putting stroke. He uses a slightly different putting stroke on Poana greens. Tiger's ready for this. He's gonna rip them all to pieces.
Okay, and Steve's gone 4 points each way. And don't forget, if you never get a Racing Post on a Wednesday, it's well worth it. You get this fantastic golf package every week for all the big tournaments. Stats, form, Steve's previews, all the latest betting. It's absolutely brilliant. So if you have got time this morning, pop down and get yourself a Racing Post. Right then, Glenn, who is your headline selection for the US Open?
I had a late change, I will admit, because I saw on Twitter this morning. So my original second selection is now my first, Xander Schauffele, a young man who seems to be really going places in the game. He's come from nowhere to be world-ranked number 10 in exactly 2 years now. 2 years ago, exactly, tied fifth in the 2017 US Open at Erin Hills, obviously a different type of course, has a 500-1 chance. Proved that was no fluke a few weeks later when he gained his first tour victory in the Greenbrier Classic and followed that up with an amazing win in the season-ending Tour Championship, beating a quality field and showing no signs of nerves at all for a rookie until the final putt, which he nearly missed. All courses and conditions seem to come alike to this Californian, who's obviously playing on home soil. Two attempts in the Open, yielded good finishes, so links types courses he's adapted to, four victories in his short career to date, and a string of major performances that read as follows. 2017, tied fifth in the US Open, tied 20th in the Open, missed the cut in the PGA. Then last year, tied 50th at the Masters, tied sixth in the US Open, tied second at the Open, tied 35th at the PGA. And this year in two goes, tied second at the Masters, and tied 16th for the PGA. Pretty impressive stats so early in a career.
Well, Glenn, I was just going to say, you can't leave this thing about how he was my second choice and now he's my first choice. What did you see on Twitter, man?
No, just that would be going into our second selection.
Okay, no. We'll leave it then. You've got this all pieced together. Okay, so that's the case for Xander Schauffele. I think Xander Schauffele is going to feature in your other tips at some point. But who's your next best?
My next best is Patrick Cantlay. I think he's the biggest danger to Tiger, stablemate of Tiger Woods. He grew up playing on Poana
Greens. Whoa. What do you mean by stablemate? Since when have golfers been in stables? I read that this morning. I was like, what does he mean, stablemate?
Sorry. Same management company, both IMG players. It's so very what? Elite. Well, it's a very elite group that IMG only signed the absolute best of the best. So they always knew that this fellow was going to the top. He was obviously world number one amateur for 55 weeks and, you know, could easily develop into the world number one professional the way things are going. So he's always been destined for greatness. A few injury problems scuppered his progress, but he's absolutely flying now. This US Open's come at a perfect time. Last time out, he won the Memorial in awesome fashion. It was a clinic of ball striking in the final round, 64. The floodgates, I think, will open for him now. That win had been coming. His form for a year has been ridiculously consistent, and he's been doing it in majors as well as regulation events. He was 12th in the Open last year, 9th in the Masters in April, briefly led on the final round, and he was 3rd in the USPGA last month. So he's got a game perfect for the US Open. He's got no holes in his game. He's a great all-rounder. He was low amateur in the 2011 US Open before the injury problem set in. So, yeah, I see Tiger and Cantlay as the two best bets this week.
OK, Glenn, what's the story with Cantlay then?
Not a massive story as such, but it's just a slight negative. Apparently, he's been moaning about the rough out there. So I think when you start looking away from, yeah, his game's in really good order, just won his second tournament, did everything right. But then if he's more concerned about the rough, does that become a thought? I've got to keep in the fairways and distract him in a way. So,
well, are you basing that on that video that I saw where he was introducing? He was at Pebble Beach and he was at one of the greens and he dropped the ball into the rough just off the green and it absolutely disappeared. He seemed quite sort of jocular about it. I mean, it wasn't like he was getting stressed.
Not that bad. I mean, I just think he found it. Whereas, I mean, I assume Brooke Koepka's replying to him amongst others in saying that, you know, everyone's playing the same golf course, which is true. So, you're trying to hit in the right spots and you should just focus on that. So, I mean, it's not a massive negative, obviously, but I think, yeah, your mind's got to be focused on just getting the job done. So, obviously, as Steve's alluded to, he's in fantastic form. You can't deny that. Yeah, everything about his game is good. So, you know, he's going to contend, but I just wonder if that might, yeah, detract from his chances of winning fractionally.
Okie doke. Right then, Steve, apart from Tiger and Cantlay, who else are you putting up?
Yeah, I don't think Cantlay was worried. I think he looked excited by that rough because his approach play is so good at the moment that I don't think he'd be in that much. And I think the same will be the case for Xander Schauffele, who teed a green is absolutely rock solid and warmed up beautifully in the Memorial last time out. Finished 14th behind Cantlay in that one. As Glenn mentions, his major record is supreme. He's 25 going on 65, this boy. He's got such a superb temperament. He's just calm, cool, measured character. Ideal temperament for a US Open. I couldn't believe how much juice was in his price this week. Maybe the fact he finished 66th in his only Pebble Beach appearance has put the bookmakers off a little bit in the Pro-Am. But there's more to the story than that. First, he was coming off 4 missed cuts prior to that event. He was 301 in the world rankings, so he had no right to play well in that tournament. And crucially, he only played one of those rounds at Pebble Beach, and he shot a 69, shot a 3 under par 69. So,
Was he paired with Bill Murray as well? That's always going to hinder your chances, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure who he was paired with, but he was an MDF, so he made the cut but didn't finish because he had so many players going into the final round. So he had one round at Pebble Beach. So his only round at Pebble Beach was a 3 under par 69, so don't worry about that. So, yeah, we got Woods, Cantlay and Schauffele as rock-solid investments, three Californians with supreme long-game skills. And then my three other selections are a bit more speculative. And the first two, Phil Mickelson and Brant Snedeker, is based on the fact that the first 2 days are going to be quite scorable. I think there's some low scores out in the first 2 days, and I think Snedeker and Mickelson could be the ones to get them. I mean, Snedeker carded a second round 60 last week in the Canadian Open, finished fourth there. He's found form in time for a Pebble Beach track that he absolutely loves. He was eighth in the 2010 US Open there. He's won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am twice. He's got the perfect putting stroke for Poana Greens. He's got that pop stroke that they all say you need on Poana Greens. He's won 4 of his 9 US Tour titles in California, so Snedeker is entitled to go well. And then Mickelson, I mean, we could spend the whole podcast talking about Phil Mickelson at the US Open. Tragically, I don't think Jimmy White's going to win the World Snooker Championship. I think that ship sailed long ago, but another left-handed genius in Phil Mickelson can still complete, you know, realize his destiny. He obviously needs to win the US Open to complete the career Grand Slam. He's finished US Open runner-up 6 times, but Pebble Beach is a fantastic opportunity for him. He's finished 16th and 4th in the 2 US Opens there. He's won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am 5 times. He won't need to hit driver. I mean, driver's the club that gets him in trouble. He's obsessed with hitting bombs, as he calls them. He's always banging on about bombs, and he loves being one of the leaders in driving distance. But take that club out of his hands. Pebble, nice short track, we won't need it. And yeah, his Pebble Beach record is awesome. So yeah, I can see Mickelson and Snedeker making fast starts and maybe hanging on at the weekend. And the final one, at the biggest prize of all, will be Brandon Grace. Brandon Grace having a very quiet season. He was runner-up in the Phoenix Open in February, but hasn't done much since. But he relishes links golf. He's got a good US Open record. He's finished in the top five twice before. His lone US Tour victory came in the Heritage, you know, a links venue with similarities to Pebble Beach. And like Schifele, he's got a sneaky good Pebble Beach record in the Pro-Am. He's played in two Pro-Ams, four rounds in total, stroke average of 69.25.
Lovely stuff. Glenn, are you going to have a few more bombs at this? Schofield's your main tip. Cantlay's your danger. Who else do you like?
Yeah, I'm going to throw Webb Simpson into the mix. Good week last week. Former winner, Olympic Club, shorter course, played in tough conditions. Obviously, he's up to the task there. Good scrambling skills at the weekend. Through for first three rounds. He missed 13 greens in regulation and got up and down every time. Stat would definitely stand him in good stead this week. I'm sure he's going to be doing a bit of scrambling. Didn't quite, you know, keep the 100% record going through the weekend, but had a good week. Ninth in driving accuracy. Again, a skill required this weekend and a decent week with the flat stick. His game's in good order. Obviously, Steve put him up last week. Current form, plenty of top 20 finishes. 10th and a 12th, obviously second last week. Decent US Open form all round. Figures highly again in most of the stats. Yeah, expect another good showing from Webb Simpson to possibly add a second major to his CV.
Right, you've each got to name two players from the sort of top-ish of the betting, by which I mean 33 and shorter, who you really don't fancy. Steve?
Rory McIlroy. Do you want me to explain why? Or Rory McIlroy, as we said, there's just no guarantees he's going to maintain that Canada form. The last time we saw him play as well as that was in Bay Hill 2018. The following week, lost to Peter Uihlein and Brian Harman in the WGC match play. Got knocked out of the group stages. Prior to the last visit to Pebble Beach, he played well in the Dubai Desert Classic, finished second there, shot exactly the same score, 22 under par. And then he went to Pebble Beach and missed the cut there. He's played Pebble Beach twice and he's missed the cut twice. Don't like McIlroy on the West Coast. Not got a good record there. And then the other one I'd probably go for, well, let's take a chance, Brooks Koepka. Yeah, Brooks Koepka wins every blimmin' major going. Again, I can't have him at the prices. McIlroy and Koepka are top of the betting.
What don't you like don't about Koepka, mate?
Koepka's never won a tournament on the West Coast. He's never played a major at Pebble Beach. He ended the USPGA hacking it, if we're honest. You know, he finished in poor form. He was hacking it around Canada last week. He finished 20 shots behind McIlroy in Canada last week. I think the Koepka bubble has burst a little bit. I think the major run ends on Sunday.
And Glenn, who would your two negs be from the top of the market?
Well, Jordan Spieth, who won last time at Memorial, just playing Army Golf. That won't get the job done around here. He's improved his putting recently again, but if he's spraying about not hitting fairways, I can't see how he possibly contend. He'd be scrambling all the time. The Koepka thing, I can see that from Steve. Yeah, he likes to play the week before a major. He wants to come in some sort of form, but being so far behind would say that he was struggling a little bit. I wouldn't necessarily be against him as such, but yeah, poor value at 9-1. No one else really stand out absolutely against, but I just don't think there's any value at the front of the market.
Okay, let's quickly spin through the other leading contenders. I want a crisp, concise line on each. Steve, Dustin.
The most attractive of the top three. Better bet than McIlroy and Koepka because of his Pebble Beach record.
Glenn, Justin Rose.
Justin Rose, yeah. A good US Open pedigree. Won at a tough track at Merion. But as alluded to a couple of weeks ago, just something about his game isn't quite clicking at the moment. He'll probably be top 20, possibly even top 10 without probably threatening to win for me.
Steve, Ricky Fowler?
Regular majors, bridesmaid, impossible to rule out, but has never played a Pebble Beach major and axed the Pro-Am from his schedule after missing the cut in 2012.
Now, Glenn, I'm interested to know what you think about Big Johnny Rahm, because I've backed him to miss the cut. I'm going to be opposing him in all match bets that he's in. What do you think of John Rahm? I just think, A, he's too much of a bomber, and B, I don't think he's got the temperament for this place. What do you reckon?
I think he the nail on the head there, yeah. He bombs it again. He could be all over the place a bit. Can't forget him imploding in the players. So again, temperament comes into question. I agree with you 100% there, Bruce. Wouldn't be for me at all.
Okay, and Steve, Justin Thomas. I mean, there'll be some people who look at him around about the high 20s to 1, think, wow, if he wins, they will all say what a big price he was.
Yeah, no course form and rusty. Didn't play between the Masters and a Memorial. Shot a second round 80 at the Memorial. Bit better last week, but no, I don't think Thomas is primed for this one.
Okay, and finally, Glenn, another golfer I've got my sights on, this time to back rather than lay, is the unglamorous Italian Francesco Molinari. Can he do anything around here, do you think?
The form he showed for the 18 months would say he would, hitting it straight, greens in regulations game. But again, something just seems to be not quite right. Since the, not the Masters meltdown, but obviously he let it slip at the end. He hasn't really been contending. So, short hitter, course will favour in that sense. But, yeah, not for me, really. Not for me.
Is he for you, Steve?
Sorry, who are you talking about?
Francesco Molinari.
Francesco Molinari, sorry. No, I was just having a little slurp on my Diet Coke there. Francesco Molinari, he actually doesn't like Lynx Golf. Incredibly, for an Open champion, he's on record as saying he doesn't like Lynx Golf. He's not for me. No, he doesn't have the Pebble credentials. And, there's others I much prefer.
Quite early for a Diet Coke, Steve, isn't it?
Not for me, no, I've already had a couple. No, I need something to get me started in the mornings, and I like to get through four or five a day.
Okay, now...
like John Daly. John Daly couldn't survive that diet.
Oh, well, I mean, if you're taking diet tips off John Daly, you can't go wrong, can you? Steve, you mentioned, by the way, MDF. This is nothing that's going to help you back the winner of any golf tournament. What does MDF stand for, please?
It should be MCDF. It's Made Cut, Did Not Finish.
Oh, I see.
They've shortened it to MDF, yeah.
So they take a load of people who from the third round, don't they, and sling them out or something?
Yeah, if too many people qualify for the final round and the organisers feel that they can't get them all round in time, then they sling out some people. So they get a paycheck. They get a paycheck, but they don't get to play on the final round. So, yeah, that Schifele one's a bit of a sneaky one. He finished 66th, but he shot 69 at Pebble Beach. So don't be put off by that 66.
Righty-ho. Elsewhere, there's obviously a zillion different markets on this. All the bookies pushed the boat out with top everything and leading whatever after such and such. What else have you got for us, Glenn, away from the main list?
We're not amazingly adventurous, unfortunately, this way. We've got the winning score market again, which obviously...
Oh, go on. What have you got?
Well, we've sort of framed it around, well, anywhere between 500 and 400, obviously, but 7-2 market in groups of two, 7-2 market leaders, -4, -5, -2, -3, level or -1.
And who would you be backing there?
I'm tending to towards probably now the -2, -3. Glad to hear the rough, obviously, is going to be up. Needs a bit of protection from the wind, of course. Forecast running for about 10, 11 mile an hour winds, but obviously being on the coast, you never know. I'd be disappointed if it was 7, 8, 9, 10 under, obviously. You'd like to see a competitive fare for a major. I mean, you should have to work for par in a major. That's always my reckoning. All these 20 under par winning scores are no good. So,
but Steve, I guess on the winning score, Steve, I guess one of these superstars is has the potential to do what Brooks did last time and just absolutely rip it apart. Well, not rip it apart, but, you know, kick right on and do stuff that had never been done before.
Well, you're putting your life in the hands of the USGA, aren't you, when you bet on this market, because they will decide what the winning score will be. I think they'll be a bit cautious this year because in previous years they've come under massive criticism for making their course too difficult. Obviously, it went bananas at Shinnecock Hills last time when... it was almost unplayable in the latter stages of round three. So, yeah, I think the USGA would be a little bit cautious and perhaps do a bit of watering because there's no rain in the forecast. Zero rain forecast all week. I can see them setting it up quite nicely for the first couple of days. I think the halfway score will be well under par, perhaps 5 or 6 under par, and then it'll stay that over the weekend. They're toughing it up over the weekend.
Okay, yes. And Glenn, like all odds compilers, all traders, all betting shop employees, betting industry employees, you spend all day looking at your rivals' prices and trying to snipe the value. What have you seen in some of the tops markets that you like the look of?
There's one guy that I've been looking at, and I think Steve mentioned him in the paper today as well. I had him on my list, Colin Morikawa. I said to the guys in the office I was leaving last night, I was going to put him up as an each way bet, but Bernie's only played one tournament on the tour. I think that'd be asking a bit too much. Very talented guy coming out of college, turned pro a couple of weeks ago, finished tied 14th in the Canadian Open last week, his first attempt. Apparently got everything, great temperament, he's a straight hitter. But say, we're not putting him up to win the tournament, although he expects a good showing, but I thought first round leader market might be quite interesting at 200 to 1 available.
Oh, love that. 200 to 1 tip, Colin Morikawa. Righto, Steve, what else have you got for us away from the actual who's going to win the tournament?
Yeah, Colin Morikawa, I like him. He's playing in his home state as well, Glenn. So, yeah, I think he'd be comfortable in the conditions. I do like Morikawa. I've got a couple for the first round leader market myself. I like the early starters in that market. It's going to be flat calm on the first morning. They'll get the best of the greens. These Poana greens can get very bumpy in the afternoon. So I'm focusing on the early starters. I've gone for Siwoo Kim and Scotty Scheffler. Siwoo Kim should love the conditions. I fancy him for top Korean as well. I must add that in. Siwoo Kim for top Korean. That's a three-runner race. He's by far the most attractive proposition. He's played well in the US Open before. He was fourth in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am in February. He's got a good record by the sea. He's only got Bai Hung An and Kyung Hun Lee to beat in the Korean market. So that's a short price. That's 11-8. But he's 100-1 for first-round leader. So Siwoo Kim, I think, will get off to a good early start. And Scotty Scheffler, he's been in great form, red hot form on the web.com tour. And he's playing in his third US Open. This is not some newcomer. He was low amateur in his debut in the US Open. He's a youngster with great potential. So, yeah, I think Kim and Scheffler are potential to ping the lids at massive prices in the first round leader market.
Lovely stuff. The only downer, Steve, is going to be so late, isn't it? Well, just looking at the final three balls on the first couple of days go off at 10:45. So heaven only knows what time that trophy is going to be held aloft on Monday morning.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge test of stamina. I mean, the wife keeps asking me what I want to do for Father's Day, but all I want to do is I just want to sleep all day and then prepare myself for watching Tiger Woods win the US Open. And yeah, it's going to be the early hours of Monday morning. I fear we could be up at 3 a.m. on Monday morning watching this finish. But
does any father actually like Father's Day? I mean, to me, it always takes me totally by surprise. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's nice that, you know, someone thinks of you. But I mean, honestly, all I want is a day pass to sit in front of the telly all day.
Well, the wife did a very good job last year. She bought me loads of Sharps Atlantic Ale, my favourite ale. So, yeah, that was a boost. And, yeah, it's nice to have the option of doing what you want to do, isn't it?
So I
will be requesting a day of sleep and see whether that gets allowed.
Yeah, good luck with that one. You'll get a bottle of Brut and the chance to drive the family down to the Harvester for lunch. Right, any other bets, chaps, that we should be putting up for the audience? Glenn, what else have you got for us? Are we all done on the US Open?
No, I'm all done, really. I would just say, though, and you ain't going to say that properly, but Scotty Scheffler was another one who was on my list, amazingly, but missed cut last time out, put me off a little bit. I don't know how Steve feels about it, so... Say one of mine that I printed out, but he didn't make the shortlist.
Well, he might be a three ball tip. He goes off on Thursday at 3:18 p.m. our time against, is it Nick Taylor and Mick Parziale, Steve?
These are firemen. Parziale is a fireman. Oh, yeah. by trade. Yeah. I'd expect him to win that one.
He should hose up then, shouldn't he, Steve?
Yeah, Scheffler, no, Parziale's the fireman.
Yes, I know.
And I don't think he'll win. So, yeah, no, I think Scotty Scheffler will hose up in that one, yeah. But three ball tips are in Thursday's paper. If you want another tip from me, Victor Hovland, big fan of Victor Hovland. Impressive in Augusta in April, top amateur there, finished 32nd in the tournament. I think Victor Hovland will be top amateur again in this. He won the US Amateur Championship at Pebble Beach in August. So he's returning to the scene of his career highlights. So, Hovland to be top amateur. You could have that in a double with Siwoo Kim to be top Korean.
Well, it's absolutely amazing that, because someone said, Luke Foster tweeted and said, can you ask Steve if he thinks Hovland's top European is a bet?
Feasible. Yeah, I think it's feasible, but much more ambitious. So, you get 7-2 for top amateur. I think that's the play.
Lovely stuff.
And then, I'll save my bet of the week for when you say bet of the week.
Okay, well, let's do the concise summary of the tips first. Steve Palmer, who are you tipping for the US Open?
Tiger Woods, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, Brant Snedeker, Phil Mickelson, Brandon Grace.
Glenn Day, who are you tipping for the US Open?
Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay and Webb Simpson.
And chaps, if you only have one bet on this fantastic tournament, who's it going to be, Steve?
Well, we can't have a transatlantic double this week because there's only one tournament. You know, I like an ambitious bet of the week. I'm going to go for a dual forecast. If you take Rory McIlroy out of the equation last week, I would have had the dual forecast. I can sense there's one coming. Tiger Woods and Patrick Cantlay. 150-1 dual forecast. Two ball-striking machines who should be churning out pars all week and will probably fill the first two places on the leaderboard come the early hours of Monday morning.
And Glenn, just one bet. What's it going to be?
Colin Morikawa each way in the first round leader.
Oh, love that. Okay, Glenn, what does this completely absorb your entire week? It's all about this, is it? When you're not working, you're watching it, and when you are working, you're watching it and trading it. Is that basically what's coming up for you in the next few days?
Yeah, and I'm sure I'll be routed in at 8 o'clock the next morning every time as well. So yeah.
So I should think.
Slightly knackered next week, I should think.
Okay, well, let's say you can join us next week when we are looking ahead to the BMW International and the Travellers Championship. And, of course, Steve, quite emotional for you. You've tipped Tiger and little Tiger's, what's he, a month old now?
Yeah, 4 months old. And
I'm not getting much. Old?
Sorry, 4 weeks old. Sorry, 4 weeks old.
They grow up so fast, don't they?
I'm not getting much sleep at the moment, so it doesn't really matter. This is in the middle of the night. I mean, I'm up in the middle of the night anyway, so I'll be watching everything. Yeah, watching Tiger and watching Tiger.
Actually, I'm slightly suspicious here because you've got a son called Tiger who you've tipped and you've got a daughter called Grace who you've tipped. What's going on here?
I'm far too professional for that nonsense. You know, I play the cards as I see them.
Jolly good. Okay, Steve, good luck. Good luck, Glenn. Hope it all goes well. Should be a fantastic week. If you are going to follow it, you are going to need plenty of coffee because it is going to finish very late indeed. But hopefully your bets go fantastically well. Hopefully the boys have given you plenty of food for thought. We're back next Wednesday with another golf podcast. If you'd like to join us on Friday for a look ahead to the racing, I will be with Mr. Keeley and various others. And we've also got a Monday racing review.
Give them the horn!